All right, so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. And we are still ahead of the hour. We are still receiving phone calls from those who are joining in on the conference call. This is a simulcast with the radio show. I welcome all those who are joining in on BBS. We cannot hear you, but you're here. Thank you so much. And the book I just, actually, second book already, but the book from Dr. Friedman is also a great book. The Man Who Walked With Jesus.
Yes, I'm in the middle of reading that right now.
Right.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we lucky to know somebody like him?
Yeah. Quite special.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that the email service is still down, I guess.
Has it been down for a while?
Well, you know, they got it back up Saturday for momentarily, and then it went down again.
I was going to say, I did start getting some things.
You have or you have not?
I have, yes.
Oh, I haven't gotten anything.
I got one announcement for the pendant sales on Saturday, and then it was the only email that Wynn was able to share, and then it went down again.
Oh, I didn't even get that.
I got tonight's a call announcement.
I didn't.
You do? Tonight?
I haven't gotten a call announcement for quite some time. I thought he just discontinued them.
No.
Me too. It's been quite some time for me too.
I have one message today also.
Francis, I guess you're making some background noise. Okay, Francis, I don't want to exclude you, but I'm going to mute you. I'll give you one more chance. Your line is still open at this point. Good evening and welcome to the Monday call. Please say your name and location.
Carla in Okotoks, Alberta.
Good evening, Carla. Welcome to the call.
How's it going?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
All right.
Everyone's so quiet.
Well, we were talking for a little bit.
Yeah.
We have to stop talking now.
We can mention the book we were talking about. We were talking about a good book.
Oh, which one?
What was the name of it again?
The Afterlife of Billy Fingers.
Yeah.
I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Meow, meow, Pittsburgh.
Meow, meow. Hello, Marilyn. How are you doing?
How are you, guys?
I'm just fantastic. I'm great. Thank you.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hey, Mel. Hi.
I don't think Lucy's here yet.
Oh.
It finally quit snowing up here.
Oh, my gosh. Think we're ever going to get warm weather?
God, I hope so. We had 50s today here in Michigan.
What was it?
It was in the 50s.
Oh, it's supposed to be that tomorrow here.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hola, Jacqueline Greensburg.
Hi, Jacqueline. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Hi, Jackie.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Hi, Jackie. It's Marilyn in Pittsburgh. We're really
close. Hi, Marilyn. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks.
Mayo.
Where's Greensburg?
Greensburg's about 40 miles from Pittsburgh, isn't it, Jackie?
Yeah, it's less than an hour.
60 miles?
Is it Pennsylvania or is it Ohio?
Yes, it's Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
We're a suburb of Pittsburgh, kind of, sort of. Yeah, so I've been listening online because my landline broke and thought I'd try my cell phone tonight.
All right.
And I just finished listening to yesterday's call.
Okay.
Very beautiful.
Yes. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Dan from Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Hi, Dan. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, somebody's watching TV.
Two people joining in at the same time. The Monday night call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
My name is Ruja. I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Hi, Ruja. Welcome to the call.
I'm a first-time caller. I just found your website, so I'm very new to your website, and I have read a lot of your information, read the book, and I've also gone to your archives and listened to your past shows.
Cool.
Welcome.
Fantastic. It's very
welcome,
warm. Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
I'm just very interested. I was trying to actually get on your calls two Sundays ago because I wanted to experience the actual energy,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately was not able to get on. So
you tried to call? Is that what you're saying? But you couldn't get through? Is that what happened?
Yes, and I went to, I guess, part of your website where it had some old phone numbers or something. Anyway, I tried unsuccessfully. I used a prepaid long-distance card, and I tried just calling with my phone line, and for some reason it was saying I was out of the area, so it was not accepting me.
All right.
Do you have the right number for Sunday?
Well, maybe I didn't.
Ace, can you give her the...
Yes, okay. Are you ready? You want to make a note of the Sunday Good Healing number?
Yes, I would be very interested, please.
All right. So there is 10... a.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
For 2 hours, and the phone number is 712.
Yes.
420075.
Mm-hmm.
And the access code is 940.
Yeah.
658 pound.
I'm sorry, 940658, and I'm sorry, what was that?
And then pound.
And pound. Oh, okay. So 712-420075 and then access 940658 pound.
No, I don't think you got it right. It is 712-432.
Oh, 432. Oh, okay.
Yes, and then 0075.
0075. Oh, okay. All right. I think I have it now. All right. Well, I'll definitely try next Sunday as well.
All right.
Wow, I'm just actually surprised I even got through. So I actually do have a question that I'd love to ask if that was...
Oh, all right. You mean a question that you want to have answered from our sources?
Yeah, if that was...
Okay, because this is on the Wednesday nights. We do the question and answer call.
Oh, and is on the Wednesday. Oh, okay.
Yes, and you can submit your questions per email. Do you want to make a note of the email? Address?
Yes, please.
It is questions.
Yeah.
At intelligent dash infinity.com.
Rosalie.
Okay.
Yeah? I have...
I wanted to suggest, if you have not been listening to our calls and you're new, I suggest that you listen to some of the calls or go back on our archive site, thespiritchannel.net. Oh, you have? Okay, good.
Yeah, I've been listening to, well, it's been about 2 weeks, so I have been listening to your calls from 2014, starting in January. So I've listened to a number of your Sunday calls, mostly your Monday and Wednesday calls.
Yeah, the Monday and Wednesday calls are best for new people. And the Sunday call, you know, what happens is there's this phenomena. We'll be with all the new people in just a second, where it's hard to believe what we do can be possible, even for me. And so the Sunday call has got this energy on it, and sometimes...
Well, that's what I had listened to, and I had read that part as well, and I thought, well, I wonder how, like, if a person gets onto that Sunday call, do they actually experience the energy?
Right. Okay, you can ask that question. Okay? And, thank you. Go ahead.
All right. I'm glad to hear, Wynn. Thank you for being here. And I believe, in the meantime, that Rosalie came on. Hi, Rosalie.
Hi.
And Juliana, are you here from San Diego?
I'm here. Hi.
All right. Welcome to the call. Is Michael here from Father Fleet?
Yes.
Michael. Welcome to the call. And I know more people have joined in. If you want to, if you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Miranda from California.
That's about seven people at the same time. One at a time.
Miranda from San Rafael.
Miranda, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. Thank you for being here.
Good evening.
Cindy in Peoria, and I believe
Cindy, welcome to
the... Hi, and I believe my son's on, Peyton. Hi, Sunny, if you're on.
Don in Northern Ohio. Hello.
Good evening, Don. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Ruja from Toronto, Canada.
There's Ruja, there's the newcomer. You're very warm welcome to you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you
very much.
Hello, Shirley from Alaska. Hello, Shirley. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi,
Shirley. Is it cold up there, Shirley?
Oh no, it's been warm and dry and we need rain.
Right. Okay. It's turning on yet.
Yeah. Global warming, yeah. For sure.
Hello.
That's wonderful. Do I hear Terry in the background?
Yeah.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Okay. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being here again.
So Terry and I are not ready. That means we can start.
What? All right, I want to ask the person still who just came in. First of all, I want to thank you for being here. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Percy, North Carolina.
Hi, Percy. Welcome to the call. We're going to leave the door open. Anybody can come in, but we're going to mute the entry signs. All right.
We'll start the recording. Terry, is Jim aware to keep the door shut? Not to go in the kitchen?
Yeah, the door shut. Yeah.
Okay. Wait.
All right, let me mute the lines. We have some background noise.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Through BBS, thank you so much for being here.
Recorded.
This is May 5th, 2014. And Wynn and Terry in Arizona, Hires in Nigeria, and all of you everywhere. And this is one of those calls that I think is one of the most amazing of the series we do. You know, in case you guys don't notice, we cover a huge spectrum of stuff. And there's really a goal here. And the goal is not to teach you something, although you probably learn something if you keep listening. There's a lot of information that comes in on these calls that I don't think has ever been in this realm, ever. And you know, when I was first having this experience, I couldn't believe it myself. I said, I must be making a mistake. Can I really be talking? This was back in 2002. It took me about 2 years to say, maybe they are who they say they are. Can I really be talking to a group soul, a source that actually created the universe, that actually could perceive us from a very high location and actually send energy into this realm and actually be aware of us on an individual basis when they looked? And that's a pretty big thing to encompass for me as a human. And it's for those of you who are new, who are not, have not listened to a lot of calls, I don't tell people to believe anything. I don't say that you should believe who they say they are. I didn't do that. I had to convince myself. And so we have hundreds of calls on the spiritchannel.net, and many of them we have live conversations, and on many others there's things that come through about how to work this. What do you do with this? What's the significance for you as a human to be exposed to this experience or this call? Because many people are finding themselves going through very positive shifts. And the key principle, and I'm saying this for people who are listening that might be new, has to do with what they call the law of one. And the law of one means that the entire universe, everything, positive, negative, planets, rocks, animals, us, angels, the Elohim, the Ra group, are all part of one energy. And that the universe was given free will to expand by the component energies, which when you get up every day and you go through your life, you may not think you have free will, but you do. And at least, and if you don't, it's because you've created a circumstance where you don't, where you have relationships that kind of imprison you, where you have belief systems that imprison you. And you still have free will within that. But we are creating our lives. We are creating our planet. And we are creating our relationship with the higher realms. And when the Elohim come in, which they do, when they come in, and for me and for many people that I've told this to, they say it felt the same way to them. It's when they talk, you can imagine you're having a dialogue, and they're there and we're here. But when you feel them, it feels like you have expanded. It's not like something else takes you over, but who you are is suddenly bigger. And it's hard to put that into words until you have the experience. But I got an email last week, and I should have it in front of me, which I don't, so excuse me for not remembering your name. Maybe it was Nick, but it was a lady, I believe, who was saying she's been coming into our calls for 2 years, and she's heard me talk about this. And suddenly she was on the call on a Sunday, and she got it. She sensed it. She knew what it was. And for those of you that want to have this experience, Some of you may have it right away, particularly on our Sunday call. We emphasize that. Focus on that. But some of you, in fact, most of us, have had lifetime after lifetime where we have been compressed in this realm. And we have all kinds of things to let go of so that you can open up to this experience I'm talking about. And so we talk on some of our calls on how to let go of these things so you can have the experience. But you must be patient. And if you ever use the word faith, which I don't usually use, but you have to hear the people that have had this experience, you have to hear the way they answer questions, and the faith is, if you hang in there, you'll have the experience. But it'll come to an experience, and you have to be patient, and you never know. You can't predict it. You can't force it. It just is part of a flow. And it's like right now on the line, some of you are hearing me talk. But those of you that have had this experience can feel the space in between my words. Like if I stop and see if an energy rushes in. So, this is an ongoing series called How the Elohim Created the Universe. And I really should say, they call themselves the Elohim. I think they are. And they've explained many in somewhat detail about how this works. And they're not God in the way we think of God. But they can lend with us. They can help us expand. We can, you know, how can I say it, co-create with them. And we can learn how to do that. And they honor free will. So, therefore, you have to ask. And you can easily see how you have this powerful intelligence in a higher dimension that can cause miraculous things to happen. And when you ask and something happens, you say, oh, my God, they must be God. They can do anything. Well, I don't think they can do anything. They have, I think, certain parameters that they work in. But they certainly can do a lot. And it's like meeting a new friend and learning how to work with that new friend. It's not about demanding or tell me, heal me now. Sometimes that happens. There's no rules, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, that there's no rules, that we are creating our experience. And so I'm creating an experience here. Terry has been, we're so lucky to have Terry being part of the creation of this experience and being so dedicated to it. And you know, there's a number of ways that I convince myself that they really are who they say they are. And one of them was the amazing past life pictures. That when I asked, was Terry ever anybody famous? And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And then I find the story of this Catholic woman who will go into the local monastery in Siena, Italy, and they would write down everything she said, because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And St. Catherine's dialogues are still available on Amazon. St. Catherine's dialogues with God, and Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. Go on our website if you haven't seen those pictures, because you have to ask, I had to ask myself, what are the odds? What are the odds that I ask a question to this invisible source as I look up St. Catherine and I find the story of a young woman who was channeling in a church, and that young woman happened to look like Terry? What are the odds? Zero. Impossible. So that was like quite some time ago, and I said, oh, my God, I think this is real. And there were many, many experiences like that. And then there's these calls on how the Elohim created the universe. And you have to listen to how they answer these questions. This is totally unrehearsed. Jerry has no idea what I'm going to ask. I don't even know what I'm going to ask. I just start on a line of questioning, and we see where it goes. And who is answering these questions? And usually, it's far more sophisticated, the answers, than Jerry could ever even think of. In fact, she always says, I feel so much smarter when I am doing this. So, just before we go into this, originally there was an awareness. There was one awareness, which is now referred to as the one infinite creator. And that awareness subdivided, like an amoeba. So there were two awarenesses, three awarenesses, hundreds of awarenesses, perhaps millions of awarenesses. And they were aware that they existed. And they were aware that each other existed. But there was nothing physical. There were no physical universes. It was just what you might call spirit forms. And these spirit forms ended up wanting to create persistence because there was nothing solid. There was no persistence. Everything just was in a state of constant recreation. And so they experimented with frequencies and aiming frequencies at a node point. We've asked this before, but I think I'm going to ask some of it today and get into a little more detail. And they were creating points in space-time which didn't exist. And a point in space-time is a point in the physical universe, and that was the beginning of the physical universe. And so it went from there to here, and a lot of it got screwed up, and a lot of it got negative, and a lot of it got under control patterns. A lot of it is still under control patterns. And they've explained that, how that all happened. And if this call is interesting to you, go back into our archives in the spiritchannel.net. Do a search on how the Elohim created the universe, and you'll find probably six other calls in there over a period of 2 years where I ask these questions. And I think it's totally fascinating and very validating for me that they might be who they say they are. So I have Terry comment from her human side, but I can tell she's not there. And and she's ready. Are you ready to go, Terry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your mic a little closer, okay? If you could.
Okay.
And let's hear.
How's that? Is that better?
That's much better, yes. Thank
okay.
you. And are your phones all charged and your headset charged and everything?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything none of that nature, must leave now? And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra on 5th of May 2014, and we are delighted to see each one of you, to be with each one of you who wishes connection. We come directly to you, not through the phone, not through the telephone line, not through the computer. We are here, and we are available to answer questions. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. Our topic is going through how the universe got created. And before there was a physical universe, you existed. And you existed as some kind of energy form. Now, it's hard for a human in a body to imagine what an energy form might feel like. Could you share with us a little bit about how it felt, and I guess how it still feels, because you're still in that same form, if I have it right?
Thank you. We were very, very clear. If by clear, I mean, we mean that we did not manifest a collective. We manifested individually, each one individually. And over time, we became a group soul, a group of individual souls that could connect and think together, or we could individually and think each one as ourselves. We did not have the manifestation of heavy energy that many in the third density had. It was more pure. If we were to do an analogy, it would be like clear water as opposed to water that had substances in it that gave it definition. We were very clear. As one moves through the life experiences, oftentimes they pick up energies that make them individually more dense. There is more manifestation in their matrix. Does that help?
Yeah, let me ask another question. Obviously, in third density, when we talk about something other than ourselves, we have vision. We can see an object. We can hear something. But we're talking about a place where there was no vision, no hearing. Is it possible to understand how you were aware of each other in that space?
There is vision. There is hearing. There are senses when one does not have a body, when one is not in the third density, when one moves into the higher realms. There is a heightened awareness of all the senses. And the individual entity, him, herself, and usually not with a sex connotation, is able to sensitively hear, to see if there is something to be seen.
Thank you. We have the idea that there is service to self in 3D. Beings in 3D that are drawing energy to themselves, trying to manipulate things, trying to have power over things. And as we go up the densities, that service to self aspect, according to the Ra group, goes till, I think, sixth density. Well, you know, six out of eight densities. So there's very high beings, we could call them high in the matrix, that are service to self. Prior to creating points in time space, prior to a physical universe, were there Elohim starting to orient towards service to self?
Thank you. It is a complex question. One of the sources of service to self is the first density and the second density and the third density, where one struggles to survive, one struggles to bring the substances they need into their sphere. So as they so struggle, they do not have the attention left to be able to think of the other first. It is more of a what insect eat insect world. And when those consciousnesses move into a higher aspect, they carry with them the service to self aspect. Even in the Ra group, as individuals have moved from the third density into the ascended position of the astral, they still carry some aspects of service to self. This is a learned behavior that one learns by being in the physical universe and having to survive. As one learns that this does not get them where they are going, their needs are not fulfilled. Their needs for love, for communication, for the resonances of the aspects from which they came, of total love and caring and nurturing. It takes them some time to learn how to control their lives in the third density and to then balance it with their needs and their inherent gift of communication and love between one another, to learn how to express it and learn the importance of that. So when one comes into the higher realm, as in Elohim, they, at that point, know the love, and they are service to others at that point. It is through, we don't wish to say contamination, but it is a lesson giving experience that one gets when they are in the lower densities. And they learn that service to self does not get them where they are going and back into their home universe. It is service to others that can get them all the way back to God.
Thank you. How many Elohim souls were there in this metaphysical environment when there was the first creation of something with persistence? And how many worked on?
Pardon?
I was adding to the question, how many worked on that project?
Give us a moment. We do not consider it work. We do not consider any effort involved. It was an act of love, an act of giving. And there were three, and then five, and then more were generated as the resonances isolated out the consciousnesses, and they began to experience on their own.
And at that time, as this was being created, were all the individual Elohim positively disposed, or did any of them start to consider controlling at that moment?
Your voice was distorted. Could you repeat the question?
Yes. The question was, as there was the beginning of physicality of 3D, it may not have been 3D, but dimensions of creation, were any Elohim having tinges of being negative at that point, like wanting to control this creation, or were they all in a positive dispensation?
There was a great desire to control. The whole thing was an experience, an experiment in control. What would they create that was, by creating it, they expressed their control. However, once it was created, they let it go to experience and to continue in free will.
And, I mean, as I would get it, it would be not only sometimes people say, I think you're being nice guys because you let free will exist. But as I see it, free will also kept the higher forces free because it allowed something to grow and expand without having the obligation of trying to control its growth and expansion. Would that be accurate?
The way the universe is configured, it does not allow one to continue to control. If one attempts to continue to control after the universe goes through a small expansion or a large expansion, it is impossible to express one's energy, enough energy over everything, and to know the ins and outs of the individual experience to be able to control it. It is as it is, and it must have free will as part and parcel of the tenets of the universe. It is not something over which one has a great choice. there can be control given to the parts, but has to be co-creative control. So if the parts co-create with the master to have it work.
So in other words, as the universe was being created, the only way that it could be created was giving, extending free will.
That is correct.
But then after it was in a process of creation, which it still is, it's a constant creation, I would guess, somehow beings inside this universe did decide they wanted to control things. And they wanted to control other beings in the universe. Could you explain how that occurred?
Thank you. When one is in the lower dimensions and then they are learning the aspect of control over their environment, they learn that they can, say a farmer can control the growth of vegetables. A teacher can control the class to teach. A government can control its citizens. A police force can control the criminal element in an area to make sure that the general populace is safe. So there are aspects that control is needed, and control can be learned. How to give and take, how to control aspects that need to be controlled to have a cogent society, to have a safe place for families to be raised.
We don't have to look at control as being negative, then. Just as a parent has to control their children when they're very young to protect them.
Yes, and to teach them self-control.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the aspects of living that is very important to each individual to learn how to express and to express and to live in the give and take of control in their own community. And there is one chakra, they is the assimilation chakra, the third chakra, that is very important to this aspect of control. One does need to control the aspects of their environment. So the integration between the individual and his ability to control and the people that he is integrated with and is co-creatively living with, it is a very important aspect to learn how to give and take in the area of control. If that chakra is not operating successfully, then it can be very difficult for the growth of the individual. If they're expressing too much control over others and encroaching upon their freedom, then it gives growth lessons that can be very difficult for the person. In learning how to effectively control as a boss and to give and take in that area can be very important. So control is one of the areas of growth that a person can go through to learn how to give and take creatively, co-creatively.
Could the Elohim anticipate what was going to happen down the line? Or as the universe was creating itself, was there always surprises?
There were always surprises. As one would get, we would get into the joy of the creation and would not think of what would be the final outcome. Although later on, we began to think of final outcomes.
Mm-hmm. When people talk about destiny and God's will, I've often thought that those are lower ways of looking at reality. So, would you concur on that?
We would concur because there are whole societies in the past who have looked at fate and destiny and predictions that could not be changed and oracle readings that could not be changed. However, we do see in looking at all that is that things can be changed. One can be fairly certain of an outcome, even possibly a negative outcome, that does not perhaps from their viewpoint make any sense. However, if one is looking at that outcome and could see all the parameters involved, and then in seeing everything concerning it, they could then change one aspect of it, or two, or other aspects of it, then it didn't need to happen. That outcome did not need to happen. So destiny is a lower look.
The fact that we're all here on this line today and three times a week and paying attention and feeling energy and putting intentions out of a positive nature, what impact does that have on what some people call destiny or shall we say, trajectories of lower realms? I don't know if people know what I mean, but go ahead and answer it.
It could get people looking. And to put into the mix upon which consensus reality draws a new potential conclusion that may not have been in the mix before. If everyone in a certain community was looking at a certain outcome and, for instance, the dam is going to break, and there is no way around it, and the people are all scared, and but yet no one is sending a crew up to fortify the dam, to do structural analysis of the dam, and to then give proper warnings to the people. If no one's doing that, then the people are stuck with their destiny. However, if somebody comes along and they have a other look at things, a higher look, that's one of the things that one can do when they are looking at something that seems predestined. They can move outside of all the parameters in that particular situation and do an overlook. And in doing the overlook, they can begin to see solutions that are not taken into account in the more limited look. And as such, they can then have different choices of outcomes.
Mm-hmm. You know, in one of the sessions we did a long time ago, it was said that Terry was one of the original co-creators before there was a universe, and that she's a very old soul. Do I have that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
As were you.
As was I. So that's why we're doing this, right? That's why we're able to tap into these energies, because on some soul level, we are family. Yes?
That is correct, as are many of the others who find this work.
Interesting. Fascinating. So many of the people listening right now could possibly have existed before there was a physical universe and have had a very long string of lives in that universe, yes?
That is correct.
How is it that the idea of reincarnation came about? Was that a product of the fact that they couldn't make a physical body that would last? So when the physical body wore out, the soul would have to come back again? And if so, why did they have to forget their previous lifetimes?
One does not have to forget their previous lifetimes. When they come back, they have a memory. However, this memory is often short-lived. When they are small, they can express aspects of their past life. However, it is not often picked up by the parents, and the parents may put the screws down on the idea that they have these abilities and they say that they are simply making it up. And then the individual moves into the fresh aspects of the new life, and the attentions get taken up by the new life, and the body creates a veil that has genetic carryover from the parents, which also goes into the mix and makes it hard to remember. And there can be mixed memories, genetic memories and the memories of the individual. So it takes sorting out for an individual to see exactly what the individual is carrying from lifetime to lifetime. And it tends to get mixed up in an unlooked on lifetime. The memories tend to get mixed up with the genetic memories and the current memories of the current lifetime. So it is hard to remember where did the idea of reincarnation came from itself. As when an individual had taken a life, had lived a life, and then they found themselves in transition. Oftentimes, they wished to come back to re-experience things, to meet people, and to carry on with unfulfilled goals and unfulfilled plans. And so they wish to come back, and they then would choose a parent to come back to develop another lifetime where they can fulfill the goals that they had set previously or had been overwhelmed by in some cases, which then they still felt the challenge of how to move forward and overcome those challenges.
Thank you. So reincarnation was not a plot by the negative. It was just a natural evolution of the way it was to have a physical body, yes?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And as everything was evolving and the universe was evolving and life was evolving, did the celestial Elohim work very closely with beings in this realm, or any beings, to try to manipulate the evolution in any particular direction?
The Elohim has a division in one of the higher dimensions where it creates models of bodies that could then energetically be used by life forms. They do have a whole division which dedicates themselves to developing models of high forms of life that then could be used for life forms to inhabit.
How do those models, which I would imagine are not physicalized, they're in some other form, how do those models go from up there to down here?
There is a screening wherein someone from up there moves into a life form in, say, the third dimension and doesn't maybe remember. But when they have worked with models up there and have developed them in the physicalized universe, then they become geneticists. They become individuals who wish to better the race. They are some of the leaders in genetic experiments in the third density. There are screens wherein these models can be focused. Holographic 3D screens that can then be used with a life model as a catching of the energies for development of a physicalized form.
Thank you. You know, I think that's all we have time for tonight. Do you have any concluding comments before we sign off?
We are pleased to bring information to you and to broaden your knowledge of where things have come from. And we are of service where we can be. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. And thank you all. And thank EBS and Hive. And, of course, we thank Terry and all our volunteers. So I hope you guys found that interesting.